Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another listener question show. Thanks to everybody who sends in the questions. We sure appreciate that, including a question from Sherry. She needs some help with her parade strategy for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. So here are our thoughts on that. She's got a 4-, 6-, and 8-year-old, so you don't want to drag them around the parks and, you know, you don't want to have them standing around too long. That could be trouble that way, too. So hear what we have to say about that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing out of my new iPhone XS Max, and I'm seeing a beautifully done app. The colors pop. It's getting me pumped up for my next trip. I can see that I only have 91 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2019. Can you believe it? 91 days to go until we'll be getting in those corrals and toeing the line for some running fun in January. Think about it. The Wine and Dine Racers, shoot, you're almost there. You can get excited for the next trip just like me every time you post to social media, get a text, place a phone call, and more. It's awesome. So check them out. They have this app and other great apps. They'll turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. They're over at virtualmickey.com. A sincere thank you to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast in the easiest way possible. Anytime you do some online shopping over at Amazon, please first just click through our link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It helps support the show. It goes towards our bandwidth and hosting. And, you know, it costs you nothing extra. It's just an easy, easy way to support the podcast. So, again, please bookmark it on all your devices. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1392 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. So glad that you're here for more of your listener questions. Let me just tell you, if you don't tune in live on our Facebook page on Monday evenings around 5:30 and you get there a little bit early, you're missing out. I'm just telling you. You get to hear all the behind-the-scenes stuff of our dietary habits and all kinds of good stuff. So maybe it's good that you're just listening to the edited podcast. You're probably winning by doing that. So we've got some great questions for you today. We're going to have a good time. So joining me from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Mike, you know what, though? They can always go to our YouTube channel and they can watch beginnings part of this because the whole thing goes up on YouTube. So if you want to see what we talked about for the first practically like 20 minutes we were talking, go to YouTube. It's entertaining. It's not Disney most of the time, but it mostly is Taco Bell. So
it's mostly what we're going to eat after we finish the shows, basically.
That's right.
That's it.
Exactly.
And Opie the cat, too, makes an appearance.
And Opie makes lots of appearances.
That's right. And also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, packing those bags to head west for a couple of fun weeks. Pam Forster, what's going on?
I am like the countdown is on. I'm torn between all the stuff I have to get done and I need to be on vacation right now. So you know how that goes, right? The last few days are the longest days. So
yep.
Yeah, Mike can still come here for Give Kids the World Day. We have other options.
Yes. Apparently, Douglas is throwing in that, you know, there's Moe's. I've gone to Moe's. That's too much work. I just like to give them, you know, my order. And I don't like customizing things. That's too tough. Anyway.
You are the only weirdo who doesn't like customizing.
Suppose that you can order on the app and then just go pick it up.
I do Chipotle on the app. Yeah, I've done that many times. It's just more expensive. Yeah. Anyway, we're not here for Taco Bell talk. We're here to talk about Disney. And as I said at the top of the show, Sherry's got our first question. She says, hey, Mike and ladies, love all the helpful information to be gained from your podcast. I'm taking my family to the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party in November, the week before Thanksgiving, and would like to get a good spot for the parade. My youngest will be 4 at the time, and we just can't make it late enough for the less crowded second parade. I'm thinking about booking an ADR for Tony's Town Square starting 30 minutes before the parade begins in Frontierland. Well, that's a problem because Tony's Town Square is not in Frontierland. Let's keep going. And requesting a room on the patio or a table, I guess. Do you think that will work since there will be so many people, or would there be too many people standing in front that would block our view anyway? I'm dreading having to stake out a good spot an hour before the parade time and making my 4 to 6, my 4, 6, and 8-year-old wait so long. Thanks, Sherry. All right, so let's talk about this. So she's trying to come up with a great way that the kids can see. Their only option, apparently, is the first parade, because I get it. You got a 4-year-old that is kind of late. You don't want to have a... I just can't imagine standing for like an hour with a 4, 6, and an 8-year-old saying, just stand here. We're just going to wait for the parade, because that could get hairy too. So, Pam, what do you do in this kind of situation? Because the parade is awesome. You want to see the toy soldiers. You want to see the big man and all kinds of stuff.
So here's what we did when Hannah was little, and actually probably like the last time we were in Walt Disney World to try to keep her occupied while we wait for the parade. Just kidding. So we stake out a spot where we want to be. We tend to see it in Frontierland just because I feel like it's a little crowded there and you don't have to wait as long. But get to the spot you want to be, and this even works if you want to see it on Main Street. And don't eat prior to. Have you sit there in your spot, and one of the adults goes and gets food at one of the locations and then brings it back to where we are. You've seen lots of people do this. Every time I see someone do it, I'm like, genius. Yes, idea. Right. But if you're sitting there in Frontierland, you can go right to Pecos Bill and get right there and have a spot to eat. I realize, you know, it's a little discombobulated for one person to carry all that stuff for a family, but they have trays there. You can have, you can even, you know, not include your drinks right there and get them, you know, the kind, if you're drinking soda that has a screw on cap or a water bottle has a screw on cap, those make things a little easier. But that's something that you can do. Also, I know the later parade is challenging for little ones to stay up and see. Sometimes you have to play it by ear, though. Sometimes they're really, like, it's like going on parade time and they're still doing okay with that. So consider that. The other thing to note is that spot in Tony's. So they were actually selling a parade package for that. Now, this was for the afternoon parades. And I heard some feedback that it wasn't such a great spot for that. So I don't know if that's something that you really want to consider for that. I think that the holiday parades are, you know, I think they're much better, and I think that they're really worth spending the time to see. I know, sorry, not the news you want to hear. Is there any way you can make it for the later parade? I'm just saying. So
yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, I get it, and you do want to see the parade. I mean, you do not want to go to the Halloween or the Christmas parties without seeing the parade. That's what you're paying for, that, the fireworks and the other experiences, but the parade is at the top of the list. I like that idea of bringing the food to the kids. You know, also, we've talked about this in the past. Many of our listeners have suggested things like this where, you know, go to Target, go to the dollar spot, get little activities and maybe glow sticks or glow necklaces and just distract them. Keep throwing the cheap stuff. I mean, I hate to say that about kids, but I mean, you got to do what you got to do in this kind of situation. Give them a little activity book, something, some little trinket. You know, if you spend $10, it's $10 well spent. And, you know, like you said, Casey's would be another option. You can just grab some dogs. Those are easy to carry, even though it's a little bit further away. You can get those, you know, and it's not probably as hard to get as Pecos Bill's. Some of the stuff might be, you know, hot dogs are pretty transportable. I don't know, Ricky, any other final thoughts for this to get Sherry, keep her sane and everybody has that way by the time the toy soldiers come by, everybody's still in the Christmas spirit and nobody's getting murdered.
You can pull the Santa's watch.
Yes, yes.
That's right. Yes.
Number one tip.
You know, I agree with Pam. I don't think I would do Tony's Town Square for, you know, the parade, because if you did ask to be seated out there on the patio, there is not a guarantee that you will get that seating, especially because I bet a lot of other people who would have gotten there earlier will be lingering. So the chances of you getting that spot are, you know, not as high. It's not a very big patio either, so just keep that in mind too. So that's why I think Pam has the right suggestion of maybe going to Frontierland, grabbing some food at Pecos Bill's, or, you know, even if you wanted to do Columbia Harbor House and then walk it over. It's not as far away. And then, you know, watching it from there, because I think that it's going to be a much better experience for the whole family than trying to, you know, maybe get a spot at Tony's Town Square that you're not guaranteed to have a spot for the, you know, parade.
All right, let's get to the next question. It is from Julie. She's up in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. The title of this one is Kennedy Space Center prior to a Disney cruise. My family's doing a Disney cruise on the Fantasy in March, and we're arriving 2 days prior to the cruise so we can enjoy a bit of Walt Disney World. We'll be staying at Port Orleans Riverside. We are also interested in visiting the Kennedy Space Center and plan to rent a car to go check it out. Have any of you been to Kennedy Space Center? Do you have any advice on how long we should plan to spend there? Ideally, I would like to visit there during the day and then go to Hollywood Studios in the late afternoon, as we haven't been to Walt Disney World in 2 years and want to see Toy Story Land. Does that sound feasible? Thanks for any advice. Love listening to the podcast. Julie. All right, so I've been to Kennedy Space Center a few times. Not in the past not since they brought in Atlantis, which, from what I've been told, and Jay is, you know, he's the man. He's a local down there. He's a space nut just like I am. He's a pilot, and he's been many times. And the feedback I've gotten from Jay and his mom, Joanne, who's also equally a space nut, we did a big NASA tweet up in Houston one time. We all sat in Mission Control. It was awesome. I love those pictures of that day. I drove all the way to Houston and back for an 18-hour experience. It was incredible, but it was just awesome sitting in Mission Control. But one of the things I will say that I've talked to both of them about, I'm talking about the Atlantis exhibit, where you can go visit the orbiter Atlantis, the space shuttle Atlantis. And what I've heard from both of them is that it is on par with a Disney experience as far as they tell the story. You don't just walk in a room and see the orbiter there that flew millions of miles in space and you know, it just orbited the Earth so many times. There's a story. There's a movie. They say people cry because it's so powerful just to see that exhibit. Now, of course, there's lots of other parts of Kennedy Space Center. You can go on tours of the pads. They'll take you in buses and stuff. So really, Kennedy Space Center can be a multi-day experience, at least a very full day experience. But I think the thing is, you're going on a Disney cruise. You're coming all the way across the country. You're a Walt Disney World fan. I think you could totally make it just a, you know, 4 or 5 hour experience. I don't know that you would do Atlantis. Maybe that's all you do, but I think you could cut it that way, because I think what happens is, and Ricky, maybe you'll agree with me, that when you go to, you know, when you're from far away and you go to Central Florida to go to Walt Disney World, and we used to go to Cocoa Beach every year. That was part of, like, growing up. That was part of the trip. We take a day in the middle of our trip, go to Cocoa Beach. But after a few hours, I'm like, oh, I'm missing Walt Disney World. I'm missing something. I should get back there. I only have so much time. So I think she could totally do maybe 4 or 5 hours and then, you know, head back. I think that'd be a good plan. There's plenty to do, though.
That's kind of what I was looking at. If they got there at 9 o'clock, which is when Kennedy Space Center opens, and, you know, spent a good few hours there, I think that they would be able to see a lot of what they have. I haven't been to Kennedy Space Center since I was a kid. My mom actually gave me some pictures that I need to scan in that I took when we went on our trip to Kennedy Space Center. So it's from my point of view of being there as what I think I was, like, an 8-year-old or something like that, something really young. So, you know, it's been a very long time since I've been there. So but, you know, knowing kind of these museum exhibit-y type places, I think that if you get there when it opens at 9 o'clock in the morning, you can probably spend a good, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours there, and then maybe, you know, head back. They do close at 6 p.m., it looks like, as of right now. So, you know, if you left, all things considered, if you left at 6 p.m., it does take about, what, an hour to get over there?
It says 45 minutes, but ideally it's like an hour. I mean, there's traffic and stuff.
So just keep that in mind. So if you left there at 6 and then went back to Walt Disney World, you wouldn't get there till like 7 if you stayed till the very end. So I guess it kind of depends, and maybe you should play it by ear a little bit to see how things go that day, to see if your kids or if you really get excited about the exhibits and stuff like that and really want to, you know, soak them in a little bit more, then maybe, you know, hang out there a little longer and forego, you know, Hollywood Studios. I know that's a weird thing for me to say, but, you know, if that's something that you guys are into, you know, I would definitely stay and stick around and make sure you're soaking up all of the exhibits, so that way you're really seeing what you've paid for already at that point.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think a lot of people think Kennedy Space Center might be like $5 to get in. It's not. I mean, it's like a premium museum experience. You're paying a bit, you know, pretty decent price to get in for the day, but it's totally worth it. I'll see if
I can find out how much it is.
It's, you know, it's one of those things in the chat, Craig saying it's 45 minutes. He was just a Coco last week, so... Pam, any other thoughts for trying to, because it is tough, you know, you're in Central Florida from all the way on the other side of the country. You want to see more than just Disney sometimes. I know you don't do this very often, but I mean, you've had experience with folks that do this. What's your best advice on this?
Yeah, I think your advice is spot on. It's challenging. There are really so many great things to see in that area. We have so many people who not only want to do Disney, but also want to do Universal, and, you know, and Kennedy Space Center is something else that a lot of people like to do too. And I think the one thing that we get so often from people who visit Kennedy Space Center is they wish they would have had more time.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
To explore it. So that's something just to keep in mind with your planning. You know, things you're probably going to want a little more time there, but it's such a great place with so much history in it, and it's so interesting. Just had watched Apollo 13 not too long ago, actually. It was on TV and I caught it, and it's one of those movies that once you catch like 2 minutes of it, you're like, I gotta stay and watch.
Exactly, you get that one. It's like you're flipping through like, oh dude, my next 2 hours are booked, I can't turn it off,
right? So anyways, but just so much interesting history there, so go and enjoy.
Yeah.
And just so you know, it's as of this moment right now, it's $57 for adults and $47 for children. You can save $5 if you purchase your tickets before your visit. So, but that's still not chump change, you know, per person. That's not chump change at all. So I would absolutely make sure that you got your money's worth by spending as much time as you possibly could there.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. He came up with it at the exact same time as you, so it's on the screen.
Good job, Craig.
For us, we love that. Love our listeners. But I will say, you know, and I've always said this about NASA and about Disney, I think they tend to kind of like in a Venn diagram, NASA fans and Disney fans tend to land in that center section that's in both circles because, if you think about it, though, if you think about it, though, I mean, think it took such imagination to get man to the moon and to do what NASA does. NASA's real life. I mean, but in Disney's fantasy, but they're both about imagining what isn't and making it into reality. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of common there, but it's really strange.
Just think about how Walt, you know, was so on the forefront of all of that, you know, with Tomorrowland. So, I mean, yeah, they go together like kind of like peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, man. Now I want peanut butter and jelly for
now. Now you want peanut butter and jelly. Good. I made him stop wanting Taco Bell. Good for me.
Can somebody get me an Uncrustable? Uncrustable? Anyway. Okay. Next email says late Ohana ADR is HEA feasible. It's from Megan. Hey, guys. Love the pod. As my Disney trips get closer and closer, about a month away now, I'm listening even more obsessively. Be careful. I consider myself somewhat of an expert when it comes to all things Walt Disney World. However, no matter how much I check for a new reservation time, I seem to be stuck with my 950 Ohana dinner. I gotta say this about the 950 Ohana ADR. Like that thing, I don't know. Do they? I have this like vision in my head that at 950, that place grows like 7 wings because that one is always available. I know it's available because it's so late, but it's like 950. Like the restaurant gets 5 times bigger. I don't know. Like they open it up or something. Anyway, just what I've always noticed. Like 945. Nope. 950. You can always get it. Crazy.
Yeah.
She says there are 9 of us, so I figure that with that large of a party, I'm stuck with my 950 ADR. My question is, do you think we could watch Happily Ever After and then dash to the Polynesian for dinner, or would that be cutting it too close? My gut tells me the latter, but wanted to get some other opinions. Thanks. Megan is in Music City, which I believe is Nashville. So they got to be there ready to eat at night. I'll tell you what, if you do it, you'll be working up a good appetite for Ohana. That's one thing. So Pam, what would you do? It also depends on the time. Well, they're going, what'd she say? They're going in about a month. So
I'm guessing that the fireworks are at 9.
I'm pulling it up. That's what I'm pulling up now, actually. All right. So let me do that while you talk.
Assuming that they're at 9, if you watch them not from the hub, but from back toward the train station, like maybe you can get near the Emporium, that entrance there, and kind of watch from there. So you're watching right up Main Street. And then as soon as it's done, you tell your family, no clapping, no reflecting on this. Yes,
no reflecting, no enjoying it. No enjoying it.
We must go.
We are done. We are done with fireworks. We have to go get our... No, you shouldn't be that bad. But the fireworks just take about 20 minutes.
It does.
And it can be challenging to travel during that time. But if you're ahead of it, if you're right there by the train station and you kind of move your way out and then assess, you have to assess, is the monorail going to be quicker or is the boat going to be quicker?
Yeah.
Look, the monorail is most of the time, unless it's way, the monorail line is humongous. And there's a couple boats right there. So consider both of those. The other thing I'll throw in there is you can also take a boat to the Grand Floridian area too, which the boat usually goes from the Polynesian to the Grand Floridian when you're leaving the boat dock. But at times when it's really busy, it'll only go to one. So figure out everything that's going on there. Take all those things into consideration. You should still be able to make it at 9:00.
And yes, it is at 9:00. But let me warn you, do not be late to that 9:50 reservation. Right. As someone who has been late to the last reservation and had asked to be seated, don't do it. I've done it. You feel like a terrible person when you do that. So
it is.
You could also watch them from, like Craig is saying, you can watch them from the Poly Beach too. That way you're already there, which
it's
is
not
another...
the same though. Let's
I know
just
it's not the same. If you cut out like the last like minute, because you know you can tell when the show's about to end. So if you cut out like that last minute,
Ricky,
that's the best part. They're bringing it all home in the last minute.
I
mean, that's what they're tugging at.
As many fireworks in those last minute that they do the whole rest of the.
I'm just trying to help them beat the traffic out of there, but you did
take my advice. No reflecting. No. Do not clap. Nothing.
No.
I hate to say it. Don't do it. Just go to the Polynesian and have your meal. I mean, you're winning by having Ohana. That's awesome. I mean, it's just, I know you want to see Happily Ever After. I would just watch the fireworks from the Polynesian beach, grab a drink or something.
Come on, Mike, live dangerously.
No, this is too much because here's the thing. You just get caught at the Magic Kingdom. There's no good way to quickly get from the fireworks
train station there. You leave right there.
Even if that boat's waiting, it seems like it takes forever. I'm just saying, it's a tough one. You're going to be sweating it out the whole time during Happily Ever After. How are you going to enjoy it? You're going to be just dripping sweat. Like, I got to get there. The place is going to close. Like, no, you're going to be miserable. Don't do it. Just go see it a different time. All right. Lauren's got the next question. It says, give kids
don't
the world. Give Kids the World and Hurricane Florence. Hi, BOGP crew. I wanted to thank you for several reasons. I've been listening to the show for a while now and love learning new things and reliving past trips through other listeners. I even jot things down in my Disney Ideas note on my phone. Who knew you had note takers out there? I love that, Laura. That's awesome. I love it. We were in Disney in September and had the opportunity to volunteer at Give Kids the World. After learning about it on your show, I was so excited to actually be there and experience what an uplifting, happy place it is. My dad and I worked in the cafe, my mom was at the concierge desk, and my husband drove the shuttle. It was awesome. It was a slower week for them, but that was okay because we got to spend an extra one-on-one time with each family we met. It was such a special part of our vacation. Not related to Disney, but I have a quick shout-out to Missouri. I live in Wilmington, North Carolina, and our town was one that was hit hard by Hurricane Florence. There is an amazing disaster relief organization called Convoy of Hope, based out of Springfield. They drove into the storm with truckloads full of supplies and a crew that was ready to serve. They've been here for several weeks now distributing supplies to the Carolinas and helping with home repairs, and we cannot be more thankful. We appreciate the prayers and thoughts from the BOGP family and for all the ways the show brings people together. Thanks for all you guys do, Lauren and Wilmington. So that's, you know, it's just, that was so nice of Lauren to reach out and share that experience about Give Kids the World. And I'm glad the Missouri folks are helping out down in Carolinas. But Pam, you know, that's special to me. That really is, because that's people giving their time when they could be at Walt Disney World or doing, you know, vacation stuff. And they're helping ease the pain of others. I love hearing this.
I agree. I mean, that's the great thing about Give Kids the World is they not only offer you opportunities to make donations that help make all this possible, but they actually, so much of their workforce, it's like 95% are volunteers. That's why they're able to keep costs low with Give Kids the World. That's something to think about. That's why when you look on all those charity rating organizations, Give Kids the World is always at the top because their overhead is so low. And it has to do with people who are willing to not only donate, but also volunteer. And I think that's just such an awesome thing to do, especially on vacation.
Absolutely. And now we have Hurricane Michael making landfall in the panhandle. So don't blame me just because my name's Mike. It's going to be a big one, but hopefully this one is going to be like Florence where it'll kind of, it's supposed to move quickly. I think actually it's going to come towards Atlanta in the end, Ricky. So
probably. That seems about right. Yeah.
So hang in there, Panhandle, in Alabama and Mississippi and all that down there. All right, next question's about Magical Express. It's from Donna. Hi, BOGP crew. Headed to the world on November 7th for a three-night stay at Pop Century, then heading out on the Fantasy for a seven-night holiday on the High Seas Cruise. You are winning, Donna. You are winning. We are looking forward to checking out the new rooms at one of our old favorites. The cruise will get us to gold level. Hey, Ricky, yes. She's like you. You guys are like sisters.
I know.
You're gold
we
sisters.
We are.
Since we don't have any kids, non-Disney folks just don't get it. But I know you guys do. My question for the team, if we decide, she's really a sister of yours.
She really is like a sister. I love it.
Are you guys related? And her name's Donna, like your mom.
That's weird. Yeah, I love it.
I think this is your mom with a pseudonym is what it is. Let's see. If we decide to Uber from MCO to Hollywood Studios due to a late afternoon flight, will my tagged Magical Express luggage still get picked up from MCO if we don't actually scan onto the bus? We want to hit Toy Story Land that night since we only have a few park days on this trip. We land at 5 p.m. Thanks for your solid advice and great tips. Appreciating you guys from Vermont. Too many miles from the world is from Donna and Dan. They're called the Disney Brownies. Oh, because their last name. Okay, I get it now. It's like that's a clang. Like maybe they're like they go down and they blog about Disney desserts or something. I don't know. Everybody's got a thing nowadays. I'm trying to always like connect the dots. All right, so Pam, how's that work with Magical Express? They want to take Uber, but what about the bags?
Yeah, the official word is absolutely not. Your bags will not be transported unless you scan in and are going there. I know that you'll always find exceptions to that rule and people will say, oh, it worked for me. It worked for me like 4 years ago when I did this or whatever. But the reports I've been hearing lately is it is not working if you're not scanning your band to get on that bus. That's what it's designed for. And I think it's also like a safety issue as well. They want to make sure, you know, whatever's going on behind the scenes there with that. So your choices are, how about this? You could pick up your bags, Uber with your bags to your resort, and then Uber from your resort over to Hollywood Studios. I don't know that it's really gonna cost that much more time. And you know what you'll be able to do when you're there? You'll be able to check in person and make sure that your tickets are linked right and make sure that everything else, your charging privileges are set up correctly. And they look at everything like that too. I think it might take probably like 10 or 15 more minutes maybe if you did it that way. But I think it will also offer you a lot of peace of mind in that space, too.
So. Agreed. All right, next question. Listener question. Cheapest memory maker option for Wine and Dine Half Marathon, which is coming up next month, guys. You better be running those miles. It's from Ben. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My wife and I are running the Wine and Dine Half Marathon this November. I'm trying to figure out the cheapest way to get our photos from the race. We are silver annual pass holders, which does not include Memory Maker. I was wondering if we upgraded to gold annual passes before the race, if that would give us access to our race photos. How does Disney charge for upgrading annual passes? Do they prorate the it's hard to say. Do they prorate the cost? Our silver passes don't expire till next March. I know I'm being super cheap now, but if I just upgraded one of our passes to gold, will we both get access to our race photos? Love the show. Thanks for all your help booking our Disney cruise. We had a blast. The Castaway Key 5K was an awesome bonus. Thanks, Ben. All right, Ben. So, I get it. And you know what? I will say this. Let me just say this. The first time I ran the Walt Disney World Marathon, of course, first time I ran a full marathon, I was buying the pictures, man. Those things were like, if I recall, I want to say I spent like $250 for my pictures. I am not kidding. They were not cheap. That was just for the pictures from Marathon Weekend, like for four races. It was like $250. Ridiculous. So if you're a runner, I'm telling you, Memory Maker is just a no-brainer because you get great shots. I mean, so many shots. You don't have to think about it. It's I love having that. So, Ricky, I don't know about the pro rating because I only get the what's my annual pass? It's just a regular one, the gold. I guess that's what it's called. I don't even pay attention.
No, you have the premier.
I don't even pay attention. I get the one without the water parks. That's all I know for somebody that's not Florida resident.
The gold and the silver and all that is for Florida residents. And I'm not well versed on the Florida resident annual passes that much since I don't have one. Maybe someday.
There you go.
So I don't know 100% on the annual pass holder benefits for the gold members versus the silver members. You can, if you have the booklet of information that they gave you, why would you still hold it? Hang on to that, but you might have. Look at that, see if that has the differences between the passes. Or you could give Disney a quick call and say, hey, I'm thinking about upgrading my annual pass to this level. Does this level, you know, what are the benefits that this level offers that the other one doesn't? Because I'm not 100% sure if the gold level will even offer the photo pass photos, although something tells me that it might. So, and if it does, then yeah, you only really technically would need to upgrade one of the passes. So that's kind of nice too. You'll be able to get the photos for both of you.
Yep. So. You just need one. I know that. And I believe Disney does prorate things like this too.
Yeah.
I think that's true as far as what I know. All right, let's get to the next question. Will the Force be with us? It's from Jessica. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I have a question for you. My husband and I are going down to Walt Disney World for the Wine and Dine Race weekend in just 30 days. Yay! On that Saturday of that weekend, we'll be at Hollywood Studios after the 10K, and we have reservations at Trattoria Al Forno at 6:35 p.m. to celebrate my husband's birthday. Do you think it's possible for us to make it back to Hollywood Studios for the Star Wars fireworks at 8:30? What's up with you people trying to do everything? This is another one. This is like the same question. It's just a different fireworks show in a different restaurant. Okay, let's get back to the email. I read these like when I drop them into the thing, but I don't give much thought. So I didn't even know I was pulling this one. Okay, so they're trying to get back to the Star Wars fireworks by 8:30. They're eating at 6:35 at Trattoria Al Forno. My husband's a huge Star Wars fan, but I do have to be up bright and early, sigh, for the half marathon the following morning. Any thoughts? Thanks, guys. Your show makes my early morning miles fly by. She's up in Chicago, 484 miles from Pam, and 1,187 miles from Pop Century. All right, Jessica, this is awesome. So, Pam, well, this one's kind of the reverse, though. The fireworks are like on the dessert end of the experience, and the meal's at 6:35. It's the appetizer. So, Do they have time to reflect on their meal at Trattoria Al Forno before they go try to catch the fireworks? I think they could actually make this one happen.
Yeah, I think so, too. Absolutely, if you're traveling from the boardwalk to Hollywood Studios, the boat is never the quickest way. It is always the path. The walking path is always faster, unless you're really, really tired. And then sometimes...
Well, I mean, she's trying to save her leg. She's run a half marathon the other day, but at this point, just turn into like... It's an extra leg of a challenge. You just run. It's like an extra mile. Go for it.
I don't think you'll have to run. You'll walk quickly. If you want to speed that up a little bit, but do want to take advantage of some of the boat stuff, you could actually walk over to the boardwalk dock and pick up, you know, the boat there.
It is the boardwalk. The Swan, it would be the boardwalk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're at the boardwalk. Or the Swan and Dolphin. So think about that one, too. But, yeah, walking over will actually get you there, you know, faster than the boat. And I know you want to save your legs, but I don't think there's much you can do about that. But, yeah, I think you'll be able to do this one. I really do.
Mike, when did she say she was going?
6:35 is the ADR Trattoria Al Forno.
No. What the date? She said it's for Wine and Dine, right?
It's the night. It's the day of the 10K, the night before the half marathon. So the thing is...
For the actual half marathon, not Wine... Wait, is it Wine and Dine or not?
Yeah, Wine and Dine half marathon. It's the night before the half, which would be on Sunday.
Okay, let me look up something really
quickly. She said the fireworks are at 8:30. Did she not?
Oh, okay, good. She knows. I forgot that they changed the date of Wine and Dine. So I was like, I don't know that they're going to see the Star Wars fireworks, but they are. So that's better.
Okay. Now you're really scaring people. I love that our listeners, they get it.
It is at 8:30, though. Okay, so if they eat fast, if they tell them, hey, we're trying to get out to see the fireworks, you know, can we have our check ASAP, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They'll likely be fine.
Because they want you to get out of there, honestly. I mean, if you tell them up front you're trying to make some things happen, they're going to bring stuff out quick. I've learned that, especially with kids, even though you don't have kids. But that'll be fun. Yeah, you can totally make it. And the thing is, like, you're worried about getting to bed. You don't sleep anyway the night before a half marathon. Get real. Nobody does. You just sit there like, I'm going to miss my alarm. I'm going to oversleep. Just forget it. I've learned that a long time ago. All right, next question is called, it just says, is it worth it?
Oh.
So what do you think, Pam? No, here we go. Let's get a little background. It's from Ashley.
I need a little more.
Exactly. You're pretty good, but not that good. Hey, BOGP crew, my family and I are now less than 2 months away from our first Disney World vacation. ADRs are made. Fast passes were made this week. We're at the point where everything is just about planned. And then a friend of ours suggested we make a change. And she put the emoji guy that looks like this, if you're watching on the live video feed.
Oh,
he's got the hands on his cheeks with the big eyes. Okay, there you go. The change would be to drop our current dinner reservation at Akershus and replace it with a candlelight processional dining package. There are a couple restaurants open for that day, but we're leaning towards dinner at La Hacienda de San Angel based on the menus. Here are a few more factors. We're a family of five. Kids are 9, 7, and 4. The four-year-old loves princesses, and that was pretty much the main reason we had chosen Akershus. Akershus doesn't have CP availability during the day. We tried to call to add it to our existing reservation, but they said that isn't possible, which is right. We all really enjoy plays, musicals, etc., and we love the nativity story, so sitting still wouldn't be an issue. The date is the last Friday of November. We aren't willing to stand in line for 2+ hours to see the show, though, so it seems as if it's either get the dining package or don't see it. According to our friend, the Candlelight Processional is not something to miss and is totally worth the 2 dining credits we'll be using to see it. But I'm not sure, and I would love to know what you guys think. Thanks for all you do. Love the podcast. Ashley's in Ohio. This is a real tricky wicket here, as they say over in England. This is a tough one. Pam, what's your gut telling you? Do they get rid of Akershus and go to La Hacienda to make it part of the dining package for Candlelight Processional? Because I'm with her. Candlelight Processional is amazing. It's one of the best things Walt Disney World does during the holidays.
It is. I agree. And I'll also tell you before I start this whole thing is there are many times where we have not waited hours for this. We did not have good seats. In fact, we didn't have any seats at all. We walked up and kind of stood behind the theater and have seen Candlelight Processional many times. The other thing that we've done, if seeing it isn't very important to you, is sometimes we sit back on the fountain there in America. You still really can hear it. And that's the beauty of it, that you can do it. Now, I absolutely understand wanting to be able to see it, in a dinner package so you have good seats and you really appreciate it. If this is not something that tugs at your heartstrings and makes you tear up a little bit, you know, I don't know. There are certain parts in that. First of all, the singing's beautiful. The music's awesome. The telling of the tale, whoever the narrator is fantastic. And there are certain parts of that that are just so overwhelmingly beautiful that it is definitely tear worthy. So it's an awesome show. It really is. It's one of my favorite things that they do at Walt Disney World during the holidays. So I'm going to say, having said all that, yes, if I have not experienced it as often as I have and could just be okay with rolling up and seeing whatever view I could see, I would go ahead and choose one of the packages. At La Hacienda, they have a lot of good choices there. And you said you already looked at the menu, so you know what to think of that. We've had great food there. They have good drinks, and it's a cool atmosphere. I like it better than the restaurant that is indoor. So consider that as well at San Angel Inn, of course, inside the Mexico attraction. This is, of course, on the other side. And it looks out over the lagoon there and has a beautiful view. But then you know that you're going to have a decent seat for this. And I do feel it's worth it if you have not seen it a number of times. So, and it sounds like it's important to you. So, and it sounds like what your friends want to do too. So, I mean, all these things are forming into that for me.
So go ahead, Ricky. I vote also go for the Candlelight Processional dinner package.
I vote for the Candlelight Processional. And I'm going to say, I know you have your reservations done and everything like that, but I would consider, if you still want to see the princesses, which I absolutely understand why you would still want to see the princesses. Hello, there's a 4-year-old little girl that's involved with all this. Make a breakfast reservation for Trattoria Al Forno. You would get to meet Rapunzel and Flynn Rider, as well as Ariel and Prince Eric. I think that that is a wonderful idea. Or if you really wanted to have a dinner, maybe consider making a reservation for 1900 Park Fair over at the Grand Floridian. And that one has Cinderella, the Evil Stepsisters, and Prince Charming and everything like that. So that's another option where you're still getting to see the princesses, but, you know, you still get to see Candlelight Processional. I think that's, you know, that would be my suggestion, is to see Candlelight Processional and then maybe try to make that breakfast reservation for Trattoria Al Forno. Also, don't give up, you know, because you never know, 30 days out, you know, people cancel all the time. The day before, people cancel all the time. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, don't give up necessarily, but yeah, I would definitely, that's what I would do. to planet.
You just got way too close to Friday's podcast with your answer there. So that's kind of what we're doing on Friday. But yeah, I will say, you know, and I've said this over the years. I don't think I've ever sat down for candlelight procession. I never have. I've never sat down. I've seen it a few times when I've been down there for like Mouse Fest back in the day. And just times we had things going on during the holiday season. And I'll tell you what, that thing is just as moving standing back by the fountains at American Adventure. I mean, just the story, the music, you can still see it. Not, of course, it's not the, you know, what you're going to see on the planning video. You know, you're not front and center and all that. But man, that story being told and just the music, it's wonderful. Don't miss it. It's your first time to Walt Disney World, too. This might be one of the things you talk about 10 years from now. So I wouldn't miss it. All right. So here, last question of the day. Here we go, because I like the title. Last minute trip, need food suggestions, parentheses, not Taco Bell. There we go. It's from Rachel. She says, Jumbo, I just booked a last minute trip to Disney World from October 14th to the 18th for my fall break, and I need some suggestions for snacks and quick service dining. Usually my trips are jam-packed with fast passes and park hopping, but this trip is all about getting out of Nebraska, maybe because your football team's winless. I shouldn't have said that. And relaxing for a few days in my happy place. They used to be a rival. I will be staying off-site with a friend at her home, but I will have a rental car so I can get around easily. We're doing Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party on Tuesday the 16th, and as of right now, that's the only time I have planned to visit any of the parks. What I would like to do is to visit some of the resorts in Disney Springs and leisurely stroll around and eat. I would love some dining recommendations for your favorite quick service or snack options at the different resorts and maybe some of your favorite free things to do. I've never been to Port Orleans, so I know for sure that I'm going to go there and grab some coffee and beignets one of the days.
Yes.
I was thinking of checking out the boardwalk because, gasp, I've never actually been. What are some of your favorite snacks over there? Thanks for any recommendations you can provide. I love listening to this podcast because it brings some magic every day to my grad school and work-filled life. Whew, hang in there, Rachel. If you're doing grad school and working. And, you know, hey, if you're still, you know, doing all that, Taco Bell's not a bad option. I'm just saying. Ding. Okay. So.
No, there's no dinging for Taco Bell.
Always.
No.
Okay, so anyway, Port Orleans, definitely do that because the thing is, it's a combo with the Disney Springs thing. You could catch a boat, go to Disney Springs, and do Port Orleans, French Quarter, and Riverside. Don't discount Riverside. Riverside's got some good food over there, too. I would go to French Quarter. I think they got more imaginative. Like, for breakfast, they have that chicken biscuit that's awesome, beignets, coffee. I think it's the same everywhere. But yeah, do that. And so suggestions. You're looking for snacks and quick service, Pam. Disney Springs and the resort. You know, what about the new restaurant over at, or just exploring Caribbean Beach, too? She has a car.
Why are you taking my answers?
I knew that was going to be your answer.
That's actually just what I was going to say, because it's a great location. I love some of the dining locations that they have talked about lately at Caribbean Beach. I think they're really imaginative ideas that they're... There's something off the beaten path. It really,
they have bowls, just like they have bowls, just like they do at Satilia Canteen. So that sounds like a winning thing.
Yes, yeah. It does. I mean, it just seems like there's going to be some interesting locations there. So I would absolutely go there. Both the quick service and the table servers both look really good. So Sebastian's Bistro is the table service location. And it looks so pretty. And then the Centertown Market also looks really, really good. So check out both of those and see. I mean, you know, see what's there. Plus, then you also have, you know, the pool bar, which is available at Caribbean Beach. And that's always been something that has been a good location. But they look like they're sort of stepping up their game, too, to match all the new stuff. So that's something that you're really going to want to consider. I just want to the Centertown Market, for they're calling them farm to table kind of entrees, the salads. They have some really interesting looking salads, but then they also have some interesting looking sandwiches like Caribbean Taco Trio. And it has... you know, pickled vegetable sauce, cilantro lime crema, cojita cheese, and you get to choose the protein that you're putting in there. So that's really cool. And they also have, you know, Island Eggless Sandwich, which sound interesting. Just lots of good sounding stuff there. So go ahead and check that out. The other thing is, when you have the opportunity to go ahead and be at Disney Springs, there are so many things to choose from there. It's really even hard to narrow it down. You know, we've mentioned, of course, in the past, Jock Lindsay's, which is a great place not only to grab a drink, but also a good place to grab sort of a quick meal. They have little appetizers, but they have sandwiches and stuff like that. So don't discount places like that. There's great, though, truly quick service locations like Morimoto's has a quick service location. Deluxe Burger, of course, is always going to be a good choice. But there's just all kinds of places like that. And I will absolutely throw in one of my longtime favorites, which is Wolfgang Puck Express. They put out great food. It is quick service and it's at a good price, too.
Speaking of Disney Springs, I saw somebody just today post a picture. They were eating what was called an adult push pop. It was like, you know, like the old like push pops, but it had alcohol in it. So just
saying. That's a paddlefish right now.
Is it a paddlefish? I was wondering where it's from. I was like, that's interesting. So Ricky, any other thoughts? We're going to Boardwalk and never been. So maybe
better. So many places. Okay. So at Boardwalk, you absolutely want to stop at Ample Hills. I'm surprised Mike didn't say it first.
I was thinking more like food, but yeah, definitely Ample Hills.
Well, I know that, but you know, Ample Hills is where it's at. If you're looking for around that Boardwalk area, I would maybe see if you can sit up at the counter at maybe Beaches and Cream, which is not quick service, but, you know, it is kind of quick service-y-like. So that would be something that I would consider. Moving over to Disney Springs, I'm going to say to maybe do Earl Sandwich, which is a staple. That holiday sandwich is delicious. I've heard nothing but good things about Chicken Guy as well, which is a dumb name.
But
I've heard those chicken fingers are really good. The sauces are fantastic. And it's really, really reasonable. So
it used to be before we all talked about it. Now it's not. Who knows?
Yeah. Chicken Guy. Also going to say I was thinking of Geyser Point at Wilderness Lodge. Yes. I think that that's a good choice as well to kind of get you out somewhere else. Of course, my favorite is Captain Cook's. I do love their nachos at Captain Cook's. They're kind of different nachos. They have... it used to be, I think they still have, it's like a sweet potato chip, a kettle chip, and like a wonton tortilla chip, that they put in there. And then they put like, cheese and pineapple and pulled pork. And it's so good. Oh my gosh. So those are my suggestions. And Mike, I'm sure you have a few as well.
Well, Geyser Point was going to be mine because she's going to the Halloween party. And I think that'd be a great way to kick it off because you don't want to go into the party hungry. Like I would go to Geyser Point, get an early dinner, just chill out, enjoy the Wilderness Lodge, catch a boat, boom, go to the Halloween party. You're full because they have good food just in general. It's kind of slow though, so be aware of that. But I mean, because it's a lounge, but it's got great atmosphere, so I'd say that. And I'm just going to throw
it has a quick service component too.
Well, it does. I mean, it does, but I mean, since it's outside, I think it makes it slower. Like I love it, but it's not fast. Pete's saying Polite Pig is one of his favorites and it has a table service kind of feel, he says. And he also says he's a fan of Ale and Compass Marketplace, which is kind of one of the newer options and it's getting good reviews. People like it. All right. Well, hey, that's going to do it for today. Thanks for all the great questions. Send those in to Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. But it's kind of fun going around, you know, all the aspects of Walt Disney World, Central Florida, cruising. We love these kind of questions, so keep sending those our way. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And I bet I just stole Ricky's thunder with what she was going to talk about, but I didn't. All right, Ricky, so what are we reading about on Theme Park News, Disney Edition this week?
So in addition to Sebastian's Bistro opening up, by the way, there's actually a couple of refurbishments that people should be well aware of. Peter Pan's Flight at the Magic Kingdom is going to be closing for refurbishment from January 7th through February 1st.
What? Marathon weekend? What? I can't ride Peter Pan.
Sorry. No Peter Pan's Flight for you. And then the bigger one, you also aren't going to be able to ride during marathon weekend. And this is going to last for a while, is the Tomorrowland Speedway. That one's going to be closing January 2nd.
The maker, because if you try to ride that after running a marathon, you're going to be going
to
the ER.
Mike will not be able to
Mike won't be able to get in there. So anyway, that's going to be close.
Get in it. No. He won't be able to get
out. I would totally.
What's it called? 101. I'd 101 that ride so bad on Sunday night or Monday. Yeah, it'd be bad.
He would need help. He'd lock up.
He would lock up. We've seen him. But anyway, yeah, so that's going to be closed from the 2nd of January, and then it's going to be closed through May 17th. So as of right now, of course, it's a sort of long refurbishment, so things may change with that reopening date. But this is to accommodate the rerouting of the track for the addition of the Tron coaster that is coming to Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom. So when the ride reopens, it's going to reopen as the same ride, just with the adjusted track. So just keep that in mind. Two attractions to the Magic Kingdom that you're not going to be able to ride this winter / spring, kind of.
All right. Well, hey, get news like this. It's free. It's an iOS app. It's going to look great on your iPhone 10. It's Theme Park News Disney Edition over at virtualmickey.com. And again, thanks to everybody who continues to support the show with our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you get the urge to shop on Amazon, which for me is quite often. I just got some new sneakers today. I'll take a picture of my old ones. There was nothing left on. You guys know how many miles I run a day. There's nothing left on the old ones. So if that happens to you, use the Amazon affiliate link. All right. Don't forget you can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group. Lots going on over there. Videos, pictures, conversations, every day, all day. It's Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. We're going to be back again on Friday. We're talking a little if this, then that. Say you can't get a, you know, you want that ADR for Be Our Guest. It ain't happening. But what can you do to get an experience that's going to be very, very similar? And you can snag that ADR a little bit easier. So that's what we'll be talking about on Friday. So hope you'll join us for that. But until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.